Yeah. Okay. So, thank you for that. So I want to just make a brief point at the beginning of the parsha. So the beginning of the parsha before us, the giving of the Torah, Yitro shows up. Hi, I'm here with your kids, Moshe. It's great to see you, etc. The pasuk says Vayishma Yitro. Yitro heard. Now Chazal have a three-way dispute as to what Yitro heard. One possibly, Rashi only quotes two of them. This appears in the Gemara, it appears in the Midrash. So one possibility is he heard the war of Amalek. The second possibility is that he heard Kriyat Yamsuf. And the third is that he heard Matan Torah. Rashi leaves out the one of Matan Torah, which is fascinating in and of itself. But I don't want to focus on that question too much, except to note that part of that question is going to hang on a different very critical machloket, which is, when did this story happen? Did Yitro come before Matan Torah or after? And the Mefarshim divide in this question, on this question. Yeah. Right? Right? Now, in general, as we talked about this earlier in the year, when we were dealing, right, we dealt with this. I don't want to do it extensively either, but we dealt with this. When did we do this? When I took over for a Ginsburg chair one day, and we did, Ein Mokdam Mokhar Batorah, where we noted that we gave a few examples of very major cases where there's a dispute besides for the one we were actually dealing with, which was the Pesach Sheni question. Right? One was, when did Yitro come? Where, again, if you follow the chronology of the Torah and assume that under most circumstances it tells you how the story happens, so the fact that Yitro coming happens before Matan Torah is chronological. And if you think that it's not necessarily chronological, then you can look at thematic clues, which the Mefarshim do, and push it till afterwards. Yes.
There's also the part of Yitro assigning judges or suggesting judges, which is important to the chronology.
Right, of course. Right, meaning is that right? Then this is obviously going to affect the whole story, which is when did he help set up the system of judges, before you had the Torah or after you got Mishpatim? That is a major question, right? Obviously, the chronological question is going to very much affect the trajectory of the story. What I want to do is go back to what we talked about when we did in Muktam Mochabra Torah, which is, okay, if you think that the Torah under most circumstances is chronological, so then fine, Yitro came before Matan Torah. End of story. Great. The major question is if, let's say, as in this case, Ibn Ezra argues that this is not written in order and Yitro actually comes later, so then, if you remember, what is the major question you need to ask every time this happens then, that the Torah is written out of order?
Why?
Why? Very good. Why? Why would you put Yitro here? And then here Ibn Ezra makes a point which I think is very critical to understanding Matan Torah. And he says very simply, what was the immediately previous story? No. Amalek. Like end of last week's parsha, Bishalach was the war with Amalek. And again, that is one of the two positions in Chazal of what motivated Yitro to come, was hearing about the war of Amalek. So the Ibn Ezra says, "V'ata afarej lama nichnesa parshat Yitro b'makom hazeh." So why is Yitro here if it's not chronologically here? Bavur she'ezkir l'mala hara'ash asa Amalek li'Yisrael, because it had just mentioned the evil of Amalek. Hezkir kinegda ha'tovash asa Yitro li'Yisrael. He wanted to mention the good that Yitro did as a parallel. Now, why? That's very nice. I mean, we want to balance out good, bad. I mean, that's very nice. Why does that matter? Why does it matter? And why is that the introduction to Matan Torah of all things? So here, and I don't remember who the first person I've heard it from, but I think it is very true, is the following. One of the major questions you have to think about in Matan Torah is, what does it tell you about the uniqueness of the Jews? What does it tell us about relationship to the non-Jews who don't have the Torah? Right. When we are being chosen, as we talked about two times ago, that we are now Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goyim Kadosh, we are now God's nation, so that forces you to ask, okay, well, we're God's chosen nation, well, what does that tell us about the nations of the world? One of the most dangerous things we could come up with is, well, we're special, we're God's nation, and everyone is not, and everyone is horrible, and the rest of the world should burn, and all that matters is us. Now, what would have happened if you had gone? Sure. I'm dramatizing it for a reason, because what would have happened if the narrative as it happened in the Torah would have been Amalek Matan Torah?
You wouldn't be here.
No. The story in our parasha of Amalek Matan Torah. Meaning you just would have cut out the intro thing and you would have said there were these horrible people, the Amalekim, who came and they fought us and they tried to kill us and God miraculously saved us and then he gave us the Torah.
The
exactly. You would have looked at it and said, the narrative I'm supposed to learn from here is that that non-Jews are like all like Amalek and they're horrible and we should annihilate them because we are God's chosen nation. They are the anti-God and we are the nation of God. They are horrible. That would have been the narrative feel you would have got if the last thing you heard before Matan Torah was Amalek, including the prohibition to destroy them and make sure their memory is eliminated, etc. That would have been a very easy way to create the most triumphalist possible read of Matan Torah that you could have in any possible world have evinced. What happens when you bring the Yitro story into it? And there's a Malek who's horrible and God says we should annihilate him. And then there's a non-Jew who comes in and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you are implementing law wrong. Let me show you how a legal system should be so that your system, so the Jewish people can function properly. And Moshe says, hey, that's a great idea. Let me literally restructure the entire societal edifice of the Jewish people. What does that, those two stories do?
Some people suck, some people don't.
Yeah, very good. It's like, it's more complicated than that. Yes, there are the Amaleks of the world, but there's also the Yitros of the world. So when I choose you as Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, don't think that that means that everyone else out there is hopeless and should be destroyed and is evil and is against God. It's not true. They're the Yitros of the world who... Well, so that's an interesting question, which is, does he convert or not? Okay. But they're definitely non-Jews who are good and believe in God and can contribute, that we can learn from and can contribute to Jewish society. Just because we're the Malachit Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, don't think that there aren't non-Jews who are part of that story. Yes, but now you also understand how important it is to figure out, did Yitro go back, which is yet another machloket. Did Yitro go back? Did he convert? What exactly did he do at this point? Because, again, if you wanted to minimize this story and say, you would say, well, if you wanted to minimize it, you would say, well, there are a whole bunch of things you could do now, is you could say, well, yes, but he still goes back. So even the best of them don't join us. You could if you wanted to.
Well,
that I would think is a weak weave. Right? Or you could take it positively, right? Which is what you have in other Midrashim and Mefarshim, which is that Yitro said, right? One version of the Midrash says Yitro went back. Why?
To convert everybody else.
Yes, he said, because a candle is meaningless in the daytime. So for me to stay amongst the Jewish people is meaningless. So I'm going to go back. Meaning, even if I'm not being Jewish, maybe I can contribute specifically because I'm not Jewish. And if you say that he converted, well, what's the message you learn from that? You could learn.
He's one of the few people that...
Correct. You could take it and say, you're right. There are some few good non-Jews, and those are the ones who end up converting. And everybody else I don't care about. Right? Or you could say, no. The fact that conversion is possible shows that Judaism isn't just a...
Ethnicity.
It's a ideology. It's an ideological community. And therefore, we allow people in. Because it's about the beliefs, and not everyone's going to convert, but you recognize that what unites us is our beliefs, not just because we were born to Jewish parents. And therefore, thinking about the chronology, thinking about Amalek versus Yitro, thinking about the question of whether Yitro went back, and if he went back, was that looked on negatively or positively? Or if he converted, is that showing that we are not just about being, you know, an ethnicity? Or is that proof that yes, there are, you know, some non-Jews, but, you know, whatever, it's only those who convert. That's really important because these stories are the preparation for Matan Torah. My personal feeling is the more positive view, as the way Ibn Ezra puts it, is very simply, is that yes, it's trying to mitigate the effect of the Amalek story on our consciousness, is to say that yes, there are the Amaleks of the world, but there are also the Yitros of the world, and to recognize that Matan Torah isn't an excuse for us to dehumanize the rest of humanity, but rather is to understand our role in the world without forgetting the fact that there are very wonderful people in the rest of the world who not only exist, but contribute and can contribute to the world, contribute to Jewish society, and that that's something we have to maintain. And putting Yitro before Matan Torah, rather than Amalek being the story we hear right before Matan Torah, is trying to provide that more nuanced and complex view of the role of the Jewish people in the wider world and the roles of non-Jews in a Jewish society. Okay? Say it again? Yes. Yeah, right. We could also talk about the role of the fact Israel Midian and Midian's people. Sure. You're right. We could definitely do that.